it's not a season finale. Like, it's so hard to explain because it's like, think of it more like a season finale of a series finale of a series you're going to see more of. So like, ooh, it's like Avengers Endgame.
Ah,
so okay. It's like WrestleMania is like that every year. It's like bigger than a season finale, but that's the kind of goal, you know? And then last night was even more important because it was WrestleMania 40. It's the first WrestleMania where the pedo Vince is no longer in charge and Triple H is in charge. It's the first one where Cody Rhodes was going to finish his story. It was pretty big, like, pretty big deal, like, as far as shows go. It's like a fucking festival, man. You know what? It takes place over 2 nights. It's like a 12-hour show.
Yeah, I had no idea it was as long as it was. Yeah. So the two guys that I work with were just constantly talking about stuff. And, like, the one dude had shit up on his phone watching it. I'm like, this is happening right now? This happens this long? I swear to God, I thought it was like a 24-48 hour long thing.
It basically
with
is.
How much they were watching it. I was like, oh my God.
It's basically like a festival. Like, the coverage starts at like 5 o'clock. The show itself doesn't start till 7. Like, it's like, and both nights. Plus, SmackDown is on every Friday night, and the SmackDown before WrestleMania is always huge. Then they also have their developmental show. NXT has their Stand and Deliver, which is like their WrestleMania show for their stuff. So basically Thursday to Sunday, and then honestly even tonight. Tonight's the Raw after WrestleMania, where usually a lot of shit happens. So like, because they're setting up new stuff. So like, basically WrestleMania weekend from like Thursday to Monday is just nonstop insane wrestling stuff from like morning, noon to night. Just 24/7, basically. Like, I asked Melissa, she was okay if I watched it. And she was like, yeah, sure. And I was like, I want to make sure you understand what agreeing to this means. What
exactly you were agreeing to
your day. She's like, why? And I'm like, well, and then I told her that, like, it happens Saturday from 7 to 11, then Sunday again from 7 to 11. And she's like, is it like the same matches? Is it like a replay? I was like, no, it's completely different stuff that all like stem from it. And I'm not gonna lie, that show was amazing. It was like Avengers. It really was like wrestling's versions of Avengers Endgame, especially the last one where they had like 40 plus years of guys just come out, because the whole thing is like the bloodline has held like the titles for like the champion Roman Reigns has been the champion for 1,316 days until last night, which I know you don't watch wrestling, but that's huge. That's like astronomical. Only 3 guys have held the championship longer, and they held it in the fucking 80s when they weren't on TV and they were like territory guys. So like, for somebody to hold it for that long, for nearly 4 years, is insane. There's another guy who's like the son of Dusty Rhodes, who's this Hall of Famer who never actually won the WWE Championship and then died. And his whole finish the story thing was, I've got to win the WWE Championship and hand it to my mother while she's still alive. So that was that storyline. It was him versus the 1,316 days. But his whole thing for the last 2 months have been going around to every face, every good guy in wrestling, and just being like, hey, can you have my back against the bloodline? They've been dicks to everybody. It's time that they get theirs. So like, during the final match, like, everybody came out. Like, it was like, they did a ton. They wrestled for like 40 minutes, and then it was about to end, and the bloodline guy came out and interfered. Well, then another good guy came out and stopped him, and then another guy came out, which was Solo Sikoa, and tried to stop another bloodline guy. To save that, John Cena comes out of nowhere and throws him through a table. And then The Rock comes out, because The Rock's been doing spots on it now. His 50-year-old ass. He takes out John Cena. So then The Undertaker just appears for no apparent reason whatsoever. It takes out The Undertaker. It takes out The Rock so that Cody can finally actually beat Roman and take the title. It was like, it was seriously like an Avengers plot came to life in a sporting event.
That sounds like I can feel the intensity and see where I can see how this would be appealing. I definitely was just like, it's your wrestling show.
One day.
It's great.
One day I'm going to get you in wrestling. You're going to be a full wrestling fan one day. That's my quest.
You know, I originally, whenever you asked about whenever you wanted to see about rescheduling or whatever, mm-hmm. I had almost typed out, is it because of your WrestleQuest thing? And that sounded almost too condescending, so I decided against it.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Hello, my name is Zach Rye with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to listen to another Horrible Gaming Podcast. I am not alone, and usually I am never alone. With me is...
Neil, a.k.a. A Tiny Wizard.
Yes, he's back. We're back. We're sorry we took last week off. Basically, what happened was Easter. Record on Sundays, even though we're not recording on Sunday today. But Easter happened, and then there was just too many things scheduled for me to, in any way, shape, or form, find a way to fit an episode in. I was actually trying, guys. It just did not work out. So I'm very sorry to William Hoohan, who is... still on strike with his people using us as entertainment. We did not have entertainment last week. I apologize. However, this week we are back with entertainment, and we are back with William Hoohan's suggested topic, which I'm very excited about. But before we get into that, we've got to thank the people who make this show possible. Number one, behind our ugly mugs, you see a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. And then, of course, the theme song for this show and all of the shows here at Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back with Fan Interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our first topic, our most important topic, that is Fan Interaction. So we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans, we read out your comments anywhere you make them, we riff on them, we talk about them, we respond to them. We're fun that way. So we're actually going back 2 weeks for our first comment. This was the first podcast in which I had basically said to Will, since he is one of our oldest and most loyal listeners, he is unfortunately stuck in a strike right now, and using us as entertainment, which we appreciate, but we had missed a podcast. Then we missed a podcast last week, but he actually commented on that old one and said, "Hi, this is the one about the soundtracks, by the way, just so that everybody knows
context." Oh, okay.
"Hi, exclamation point. You're feeling way worse than you should about that missing podcast episode, really. I'm late for choosing the topic, but would like to hear you discuss about game achievements. Are they good, bad? Do they make you want to play more, etc., etc.?" He then, and guess what? That's what we're talking about today, guys. Spoiler alert, that's our topic for today. I'm very excited to talk about it. Should be interesting. He then continued to say, "Okay, top three soundtracks. Scourgebringer. I can assure everybody this soundtrack is phenomenal. Go check it out. It's great. It's Doom. Like Doom, 8-bit Doom is what it is. It's phenomenal. Nier Automata, which
I've heard is phenomenal.
I've heard it's good. Same with his next one, which is Persona 3. I don't know those two soundtracks. Those are not games that I would ever play, but I appreciate them. He then says, "Thanks for the show. Hashtag day 25 of the strike." Bummer for you, buddy. Well, we got some content this week, at least. Got some content this week. But now we are going to move on to our next week's series of comments. And we start with Echelon Cake, Kayla, the wonderful member of the Lasso 3. She says, "Sims 4 lost all the lore, but if you go through Sims 1 to 3, there are heavy storylines." 2 exclamation points. Just search Bella Goth sometime when you're bored. Sims 4 really dropped the ball on all that crazy storytelling. Interesting. Interesting. I didn't know that there was any storytelling whatsoever to The Sims. But yeah, it sounds that, interesting.
The family name, that reminds me, because she went into a whole thing before about that.
Well, thanks for the heads up, Kayla. We really appreciate it. I will endeavor to check that out. Then Jason continues. The Sims, the movie. The tragedy of God condemning the generic family to the pool, where the ladders are removed and no food or rest are available. Next door, the whatever family is tragically condemned by God to the shed, where the doors are removed and the fire rages with no end and no escape. Meanwhile, the Hot Mama family across the street, Miss Hot Mama, is condemned to consistently woohoo with random dudes and take care of more and more children. That would be a real fucked up movie there, Jason, but thank you for that. Then we had William Holohan. Hi! Exclamation point. So I did comment last week, but too late for it to make it for this episode. Careful with that new Contra game. Go watch the Electric Underground review before buying. I'm definitely team remaster over remakes. I have nothing. I like having old games available on newer hardware. Thanks for the show. Hashtag I don't pay for what ifs. thank you. Thank you for hashtagging that. That was my t-shirt line from last episode. I will say this on the Contra thing. I'm not going to purchase that Contra game. I watched the Game Grumps literally play the entire game from start to finish, and it does look fun to me, but it doesn't look worth the money to me. Also, the storyline is batshit crazy in that, and I feel that there's been a lot of people who are like, this was fan fiction that they've tried to, like, respawn the game on, sort of thing. And, like, it has, like, just insanity to it. So, thank you, William Holohan, for the heads up. But I've actually seen everything I need to see on it, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'm trying to avoid buying games right now, which is hurting the content on our channel, I'll say that. But just because I have so many games I want to finish or get to, you know, I'm still playing WWE 2K2014 GM mode. I'm still playing Skull and Bones. Yes, still playing it. I want to finish my evil playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3, like, and No Man's Sky just launched Orbital Update, which... it's not my favorite, but we'll talk about that later. I think that, like, there's just so many things to play right now. I don't need to buy new games right now. I just don't. Like, if I were to buy anything, it would be Dragon's Dogma 2, because I feel like that game is a heavy contender for Game of the Year right now, even with its issues from launch. And I usually endeavor to purchase Game of the Years just because, you know? But... like I said, I got too much to play right now. And Dragon's Dogma is going to be way better in 4 months. So I'm going to wait for that to happen and play it then. You know what I mean? It's not a multiplayer game anyway, so I don't have to worry about it. Did you want to respond to that in any way?
I mean, not really. I mean, the Dragon's Dogma thing, I don't know. Like, it definitely is something that... it. Seemed like something that I would maybe be interested in until I heard all the bullshit and shenanigans surrounding it, with, you know, its various issues, microtransaction.
Yeah. The microtransactions bullshit. Are stupid though, like, because there's stuff you could just get in game. They're
well,
if you take even the smallest amount of research, there's no reason to buy them, you know, and that's one of those weird things that, like, I don't understand the microtransactions. I don't like about the microtransactions is they purposely didn't tell anybody about them till the game launched, and I'm really sick of surprise microtransactions. Regardless of what they are, I'm really sick of, like, here's the game, and here's the microtransactions we didn't tell anybody about or let anybody review, you know?
And it just feels like extra skeezy because it's just the usual Capcom fare.
Yeah.
There's no reason to have, like, even with Devil May Cry 5, like, there was no reason
right.
for you to be able to buy the red orbs to up your skills. Right. There's no rhyme or reason to it, man. Like,
yeah.
And it's the same shit.
Or like the Assassin's Creed, where it was like pay to level, to max level. The microtransactions still don't bother me as much as the performance issues and stuff, and that's the kind of stuff that I feel like will get better as time goes by. But I know a lot of people playing it, including Philbilly, and they are absolutely having the time of their lives. So I feel like the core game is good and going to be something we talk about at the end of the year. Just if for no Probably. Other fact than there's not a whole lot of stuff, big name stuff coming out right now, you know?
That's true, too.
So I think it's definitely... And I've also heard a lot of Skyrim talk. And anytime people are like, this is the new Skyrim, like, gets my blood pumping, you know?
Well, the last time we had a new Skyrim in space, it lasted for, what, a month maybe?
Well, I know better, because that's Skyrim without any improvements, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, anything bad in Skyrim is forgiven because of when Skyrim was made, you know?
That's
but
true.
You released a game this year that sucks. Like, why? Why is it exactly the same as Skyrim, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then finally we had Jason one final time. Why didn't we make a new game? A new original game is risky. Even throwing a new sequel is risky. Remaking an old beloved game is money. I think the only remakes I've played are the Resident Evil remakes. I've never played the original Resident Evil 1, 2, or 3, but I did play 4, and I'm playing Resident Evil 4 Remake, and even though it's been ages since I played 4, I've noticed a lot of things where something seems missing or wrong somehow, and it's distracting. Then he puts in possible minor spoiler for Resident Evil 4 and Resident Evil 4 Remake 4. Can I read this? Are you going to be bugged by it?
Yeah, I don't care.
All right, so everybody else out there, you know, fast forward a little bit if you don't want to hear this part. Some things I actually liked were they changed things a little to throw the players off Resident Evil 4 off in Remake 4. Like, in the beginning of Resident Evil 4, you come across a dog in a bear trap, and if you let him go, he comes back to help you in a later fight. In Remake 4, in that spot, you come across a dead dog, so you think, ugh, that they really took that out, really? Then you find the dog in a trap later on. I'm not to the fight, so I don't know if it comes back, but it'd be weird at that point if it didn't. Parentheses. I need to go back and pick the game back up. I'm currently playing DBD, Dead by Daylight, Lightyear Frontier, Small Land, and Control right now, though. He's actually playing Sea of Thieves. He's been posting about it in our Discord. Mostly Control right now because I'm past the point where I was in the standard edition. You know, here's the thing, though, Jason. While I agree with you on the whole no riskiness, they're killing themselves in the long run. And that's what people need, what these developers, they need to realize. It's like they're constantly wondering where their sales are going. It's because you're recycling IPs that people are sick of. Like, it's definitely a factor in what's happening right now in the industry. And why people don't want to buy a 5 or a 6 of a franchise, because you're not trying anything new. You're just recycling the same stuff because people will buy that because Master Chief is on that. But that does have diminishing returns. That does have a fall off the cliff point where people are like, I just don't want to play this anymore just because Master Chief is in it or just because it's Resident Evil or whatever. I think that, like, again, for me, you're going to put this much work into a remake, you might as well just make a new game.
Yeah, and you know, it's funny. IGN, of all people, put up an article or like a video essay basically not too long ago about the current state of like these console generations that basically everybody now is rethinking what a console generation is, which ironically is what Xbox... they said that they were doing with this generation anyways.
Right.
They were looking at the incremental changes. And now because, you know, streaming is such a viable platform to some degree, people want their games in more places.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot better of a thing for companies and publishers because they can justify taking the risks on these games that they're not sure if they're going to make the money back on.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you pour multiple millions of dollars into a game and release it on one single solitary console, you're just Russian roulette with one bullet in it, man. Yep. Like, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But at least, to go with the metaphor, you're putting more rounds in the chamber when you put it on other consoles.
Yeah.
In the end, you can have a financially, you know, successful game if it's just ported to another console, because cost comparatively, you know, making a port of a game that already exists is not as bad as a full-fledged whole new game. And that's the thing, is nobody's taking risks right now, because there's so many things that flop. There's so many things out there that, you know, they put out and they're either have astronomical expectations or something that they just let the game get away from them effectively.
I mean,
and now they're left with this multi-million dollar thing that they're never going to be able to recoup the costs on.
I mean, I would argue that there are people taking risks, and they're the double and single A developers, and that's why those developers are becoming the developers of tomorrow. I mean,
again,
look at Helldivers. They're still knocking it out of the fucking park with everything they do. That's not AAA company. You know what I mean?
$40 like, game.
Yeah, it's 40. It's It's not a premium even purchase. You know, hell, No Man's Sky. We're in the 23rd update of that one. Hello Games is not a AAA game. It is an independent. It's an independent company, and now it has that. It has brought that thing back from the dead, and it's trying new things. It's actually innovating. There are a lot of like double A, single A developers who are actually like putting the work in. And taking those risks, and those are the guys who are being rewarded, and that's what is so mind-boggling to me when it comes to this logic, because the argument almost doesn't hold water anymore to me, because you have these people who are like, oh, well, we don't want to take the risks on not putting Master Chief in this game because we won't sell. I'm like, okay, what about Helldivers? What about this? You know, what about all these games that are taking risks and making plenty of money? Then you have the money to actually fail every once in a while. You know what I mean? Like that's something that just bugs me to the core, is like that argument just doesn't hold water the way it used to, like maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, because there are companies out there taking those shots and actually being successful while these AAA keep singing the same song, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
I was just going to cap that off. And that's why the indie space has risen the way that it has.
Yeah.
And melding those two things together, it's why something like Steam has just continued to be more and more of a success story.
Yeah.
Because Steam itself is a platform.
Yeah.
You know, Sony's making the way over to porting their games over to PC now on a regular basis. Yeah. Microsoft does the same thing. Indie games are released all the time. We hear about all these different indie darlings that just keep popping up here and there. It's also a place that you can get those old games that you want. That is what people want, and that's why stuff like indies are successful, and also why stuff goes onto Steam.
that's exactly right. That's exactly where we are. So, all right. Well, that's it for Fan Traction. Let's go ahead and step into our talking point provided by Mr. William Holwyn. We appreciate it. We're finally getting you back. We're finally paying you back on this one. He wants to know what we think about achievements. We want to have an in-depth achievement discussion. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about achievements, trophies, all those fun little like extra little things that you get. And we're going to talk about whether they matter, if they matter to us, the whole nine yards. So we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with that.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to our talking point. Achievements, trophies, those little things that pop up when you do something in the game that have nothing really to do with the game itself. Your gamer score, so to speak. Do these things matter? Should they be there? Do we like them? That's what we're talking about today. Achievements, trophies, the whole nine yards. Neil, what do you think?
So I feel like I have a lot of things to say all at once with these. It's funny that he chose this as the topic for us to talk about, because it's something I've always thought about a lot, and I can't really kind of put my finger on it overall where I fall. Okay. I think it's more so a level of indifference and a really just not super care for the most part, but I feel like they could have a place.
Okay.
And I feel like this because achievements were cheapened from the jump. And what I mean when I say that is achievement. When you think of an achievement in a game, your first thought goes to you accomplished a very specific task or a unique circumstance, overcame a challenge, something along those lines. I think back to the Xbox 360 and all those games just dumping ludicrous amounts of gamer score on you from pressing A to start the game.
Yeah.
I think it was the Prince of Persia game. You got 100 gamer score literally just from starting the game.
Well, like, and then there was
just
the 12,000 that you could get from that shitty Avatar Airbender one. That there was a gamer score that was, it's the highest gamer score ever. It was 12,000. It was like throwing a light attack 50 times or something.
Yeah, stuff like that. Like when I think of an achievement, I think of something like you completed such and such task without taking damage, or you did X, Y, and Z in like the fastest time possible or something like that. I almost want an achievement to be a fluctuating bar, almost like a leaderboard sort of thing.
Okay.
Because gamer score, all gamer score ever tells me, because I actually got in an argument with somebody one time years ago about this in the late stages of the Xbox 360 before the One came out. All gamer score tells me is you just either have a ton of money or time to play a ludicrous amount of games, or all you do is play games.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily look at them as a crowning achievement because okay. there's not often skill involved. Don't get me wrong. There's some that are definitely skill based. One that I always wanted to get, and I was the only one in my group of friends who wasn't able to get it, was in Left 4 Dead Crowned, where you headshot a witch.
Yeah.
That's the only one I never got. Because her head's always bobbling all over the place.
Yeah, scary.
Yeah, stuff like that, that's cool. But just cutting the game on and say, hey, thanks for installing our game. Here's 1,000 points because we like you and we got to give you something. I don't know.
Okay, that was a lot. I got to unpack that a little bit. All right, so I'm with you. In the beginning, they definitely didn't have any. There's more regulation now, without a doubt. Mm-hmm. Like, but there's still those, like, there's two different achievements, right? There's two different sets of achievements in any game. Mm-hmm. There's the achievements for just progressing in the game in some fashion. Like, mm-hmm. you beat level one, here's some gamer score. You beat level two, here's some gamer score. Like, those easy ones. And then every game seems to have, like, a series of harder ones that it's like, okay, you beat it, but can you beat it on hard? Or, you know, can you beat it while only jumping or something like that?
Right.
And I, correct me if I'm wrong, but Nintendo doesn't have anything like this. Like Nintendo never adopted the achievements trophies.
They never did on a system level. It was always game based.
Right. Okay. So this is tricky for me because when it first came out, I would make fun of them. I was like, oh, there's points for nothing. Yay. It's just in my way while I'm trying to shoot something sweet, you know. And I would make fun of it constantly, especially on the PlayStation where they would give you trophies, which was insane to me. Instead of like a point basis, it would be like gold trophy, bronze trophy, popping up everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I want to agree with you on everything, but I'm not going to lie. When that little boop boop comes up and you see the little gamer score pop up, I get excited. I get a little endorphin hit, and especially when it's the diamond one and it's a rare one. So less mm-hmm. than 10% have actually accomplished that achievement. It's like, ooh, diamond. What? I did a diamond one. You know, also a good a good indicator that your game is not doing as well as it is if those
as evidenced in Redfall Down.
Right. It was a rare. We all got a rare achievement for defeating that game because nobody beat that shit. Less than 10% of the players beat that game,
which is terrible.
Terrible. So it's tricky for me because, like, I'll say this: I almost never achievement hunt. I'm almost never like running around, like trying to complete a game. I have only completed the achievements on a game 3 times in my entire life. So like, it's not something that I regularly do. That being said, I like that little endorphin hit. I like it when it lets me know that I did something in the game, especially if it's something that's not just progression based. Like, oh, hey, look at what you just did. You know, you jumped over his head when you should have jumped on his head, you know, like that kind of thing. And I also do find it fun in certain games. Like, here's an example. Streets of Rage 4. I have 93 hours in Streets of Rage 4, which is insane for a 2D brawler. That's level-based. It's not even like an RPG. It's a level-based 2D brawler, and I have over 94 hours in it. But, so I'm getting to a point where I'm like, I've played through this probably a million times. I've played their survival mode a million times. I've played it with every character. So, like, where do I go from here? And the other night, I went through the achievements, and I was like, And then I got to one where it was like, beat this level on hard. I was like, okay, game, let's do some achievement hunting. So I feel like even though, like, it's a nice option. It's a nice option if for the games that you're really into, like super into, to like be like, okay, this is another level of play that wasn't there before. Like, it's another reason to go back to it. You don't have to use it because most of the games I have some achievements. I've never completed them. Like I said, I've played hundreds of games. We all know that. I've maxed out an achievement on a game maybe 3 times. Ever. So, like, it's rare that I get all the achievements anywhere. But at the same time, it is nice that, like, now I can be like, oh, I'm going to achievement hunt on this game, you know, because I want to play it some more. It gives me another excuse to play it some more, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I can get down with that for sure, because I feel like achievements do have a place.
Yeah,
they do have a place for like gaming as a whole. What I would love is a sliding scale of where you are compared to other people who have played the game.
Yeah,
because PlayStation kind of does that. So they kind of break down how, like, with Microsoft, they just have your standard achievement and the diamond achievement.
Mm-hmm.
They break down the rarity and where you fall in the percentage of gamers who have gotten that thing.
Yeah, I
like that. Yeah. But there's some things that are just like, there's an achievement put into a game that basically, depending on the type of person you are when you play a game, if you're a completionist who wants to get every single possible achievement, it's a little hard.
Mm-hmm.
One in Street Fighter 4 is to literally hit number one rank on the world leaderboard.
Yeah,
come on, man.
Wow.
Yeah, come on, man. Like,
you're never going to hit that. It's
an ultimate badge of honor, to be fair. Like, the people who have touched that pinnacle, like, it's fantastic because you can say, hey, look what I fucking got. I was number one in the entire world.
You need to wait till like 2 more are out and they're about to shut down the servers on it.
And then go back in.
Go in when there's only 10 people, man.
Yeah. So, I mean, something like that, like, is a little ridiculous. In a perfect world, what I would like an achievement to be is, like, you don't go in and see, oh, what's the list of achievements, and shows you, like, how many there are. And, of course, thank God they've started, like, locking some of them behind, like, their descriptors, because they used to spoil the game if you looked at them. But I wish that they had like they didn't tell you about any of them your first playthrough.
Yeah.
To where if you just naturally got it, oh hey, you know, I actually did that. And it's its own little subcategory. Right. And then from there, you could go ahead and go back in and the whole list unlocks. Then it's like, okay, this is the stuff that you didn't do.
Yeah.
And if you had like a little social space to where the achievement was like a little badge and you could like display your top four badges or something.
Right.
So that you could use that, like have it do something. I feel like it would add more value for me. I don't think I would go so far as to say like, you know, like every 1,000 gamer score you bank, you can like turn in for like a dollar on the store or something like that. That would be awesome. That would be awesome for sure. But I can just hear all of the scammers now finding ways to do that. And somebody's going to make a game that you install it and it gives you 10,000 gamer score or something stupid. Like, I wouldn't go that far personally.
Well, they do like, give points for certain gamer awards. I don't like the way they do it, because basically what they do is each week you have to play a certain game on Game Pass and get those certain achievements, and that's annoying because like when you're into a game, you want to play the game you're into, you know. So I'd much rather have it be like your overall gamer score, you know, that's how much you get, even in like points to Microsoft. So it's even worth less, you know, just something.
Mm-hmm.
I will say, aside from that, I think that like one of their biggest things is what you were talking about, which is I think it was a really good idea. I think they didn't put enough forethought into it on either side, either PlayStation or Microsoft, when they implemented it on the 360 and the PlayStation 3. And basically what they did was they didn't regulate it at all in the beginning. So everybody could just like do whatever they want for their achievements. Like if you look at the achievements now for Xbox, like you have like 5-point achievements to 100-point achievements. And that's like the highest achievement you have. Plus, I think they have a regulatory amount of gamer score each game is allowed to give out, period. So like you divide those achievements up is up to you. But it's like, hey, your base game can only give out 1,200 gamer score points. If you do a DLC, it can only give out this much. So like, but in the beginning they didn't have that, and it immediately kind of destroyed the future, because now nobody wants to get their gamer score like restarted or anything like that. But how do you take it back to zero and do it the right way without like invalidating some of those achievements that were like for pausing or for like, you know, hitting A 5 times to get 12,000 or something like that. So it's tricky. It's a tricky biz. I think that, like, just to change gears real quick, because we're bitching about this a lot. What is the one achievement that you're most proud of? On the positive side of spectrum.
Jesus. I haven't paid attention to achievements in so long.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, if you know what it is. You know what I mean? Like, if you were to know what it is, you know what it is. I'm actually going to try to
launch the Xbox app right now to see if I can see my achievements.
You could probably see them. Probably something in Street Fighter.
Oh, but of course there's an update. Oh, yeah, it's probably something for Street Fighter.
Mine is actually Redfall.
That you're most proud of.
I'm most proud of finishing that one. We finished it.
We did it. We did do it.
We are less than 10% of the people who finished it. I've gotten a lot of achievements that have actually meant something to me. I don't think anything meant more to me than finishing that game with you guys and being done with it, but actually sticking with it till the end when we really shouldn't have.
Right. I don't know what the heck's going on. I updated the app and it told me that it's not updated.
Nice.
So that's fun.
Update software. Oh, you don't have to worry
about
it then.
Yeah, I probably
have. I've got a lot. I also completed Bastion. All of the achievements on Bastion I got unlocked, because I love that game so much. So much.
I can't remember exactly what it was, but I almost maxed out rank on Halo Reach. Halo Reach is the one is okay. the one multiplayer game that I think that I've dumped the most hours into, mm-hmm. which is why I'm really hoping one of these days I can drag you to on online matchmaking whenever we do go back to doing Lasso.
We can do it. We can do it. I'd be down.
There's like normal military ranks, and then you get to like crazy levels, and I think like Mythic is the top rank or something like that. I think I was only like two levels away basically from maxing out, but you get one once you start going beyond your standard military ranks. That's one to where it was like, okay, so I've put this much time into the game.
Right.
And I know I got one in Street Fighter at one point to where I hit A rank in online multiplayer with Bison. Basically, you start at D and work your way up. And there's like a plus variant of every single one of them. So I hit base A rank with Bison Online. So that was about the time that I stopped playing online, primarily because once you get into that tier, you're looking at people who play in tournaments on the regular.
Yeah.
So then you're just getting mopped constantly.
Yeah. I get scared at that.
But yeah, that's, and I do think that there's something to be said for, there's something to be said for, like you mentioned, Redfall. The fact that because that's the thing with some of these achievements. Like, you have the achievement, especially when you're playing with friends. It's one of those things to where it's like, hey, this is a thing that we all did together, mm-hmm. regardless of how great or terrible the case of Redfall was. You know what I think would be cool as hell, though? If you could kind of go online, it's probably very illegal, but if you could go online with your gamer score and have your gamer score be like a wager that you could put in.
Oh, that'd be cool.
For like ranked matches.
That'd be really cool.
So it's like it's a 100 gamer score entry and winner takes the pot sort of thing.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
I think that would be really cool, but probably gambling.
Well, as long as it's not a monetary value, I think you're safe.
I think so.
I will say Achievement had a bunch of, Sifu had a bunch of achievements that I got very obsessed with getting, because we all know how obsessed with that game I was. But the biggest one was, and it was a progression one, was just getting the true ending of that game was so unbelievably difficult, because the way you there's like five levels. It's a roguelite, basically, but it's a kung fu game where every time you get knocked out, every time you die, you come back slightly older. And it allows you to unlock skills, basically. It's all a trick. And it's fun. But you get like five levels that you got to do from start to finish. To get the true ending, though, because the whole thing is like you're on a trail of revenge. Like five people killed your dad and your master, left you alive, and walk away, right? So you start like going through all these people for revenge, and you can kill them like one after another. They're all hard fights in their own way from the first one on. But what you can do, because the game has like a guard break, is as you fight them, you can block them enough to where you break their will, basically their defense. And then you get this button prompt where it says spare them, where you stop them, you take them down, but you don't kill them. Like, you spare them. So the true ending of the game, you have to fight every one of these masters and not kill them. I cannot explain how hard it is just to fight them, let alone to block them enough to keep them alive to spare them. Especially the last guy. I played this game on Amateur Hour. Everybody out there can actually watch everything I did on Amateur Hour to do this. And like, there was two whole sessions where it was just me fighting the main bad guy and dying, and then fighting the main bad guy and dying, and fighting the main bad guy and dying. Like, that's what the game was, because it was so hard. Like, it was like hour long sessions, my hands just like cramping trying to get it done. And it's even worse because you'll get him to a point where you can kill him. But you can't kill him. You know what I mean? So like,
yeah,
it was, that one was a real cathartic for me to actually accomplish that achievement and get that true ending.
There's some games too that don't have achievements, or at least where I played them didn't have an achievement that I wish I had. Mm. So like whenever I did the genocide run in Undertale.
Oh yeah.
That there, like, the game is, the genocide run is a Herculean task because you really only have a challenge twice, and the challenge is absolutely insane. But because I played it on the Switch, there was no achievement. I'm sure the PC version
has one
achievement on it. But there's some games that I wish I got achievements for. Yeah. Even like back in the day. I mean, granted, some of them now have retroactively got them put in. Like, you know, Sonic 3 and Knuckles getting all the Chaos Emeralds. Like, that's not easy.
No, it is not. It is not. Well, I think we covered this. Do you want to do the news, or do you want to add anything else to it?
No, I think we got it pretty well there.
All right. Well, guys and gals out there, comment. What was the, do achievements matter to you? And if they do, what are your favorite achievements that you've gotten? Maybe the most meaningful ones to you. Give us the comments. We'll always read them out. And thanks for the topic, Will. I think it was a great conversation. And open-ended, Will, if you want to give us another topic, I'm down. I'm totally okay with it. In fact, I will take suggestions for topics from anybody. Because I'm lazy, and we've done 263
We used to do like a call to action every week.
Yeah, and feel free. If you guys wanna throw out there subjects or ideas, we will happily talk about them as long as there's not news that requires our attention. But speaking of news, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with the news.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the news, our final segment. This is where we catch headlines that don't necessarily deserve a talking point, but we want to let you guys know about them, we want to riff about them, we want to tell each other about them. So, we both have four. If Neil's okay with it, I'm going to start us off.
Is that all right? Go right on ahead.
All right. So, No Man's Sky has gotten its, I believe, 23rd update, free update.
Which is insane to think about.
And even more insane, they have added a boatload of shit to it. It is called the Orbital Update. I do want to let you know, this isn't going to matter to you at this point, but if you were an Xbox person, you got it 2 weeks late, which I was going to bitch about here, but it seems passe to do right now. but the Orbital Update. This redoes all of the space stations, so now they have a look and feel all their own dependent on the race that runs the space station. They also look nicer. There's also new guild mechanics, so you can actually build your standing with the guild and use it to trade in for valuable resources and stuff, which I really like. Anything that makes the NPCs feel more personal. They have also added ship customization, finally. Long requested feature. I kind of hate it, though. Not gonna lie. I can bitch about it here if you want me to, but this is the first miss from their company on the update that I've ever seen. Nonetheless,
I was gonna say first miss outside of launch.
Outside of the initial launch, I all of their updates have been stellar so far. I just it's just too hard to do the ship customization. Like, first of all, you can't customize the ships you have already, which bugs me. You can build ships from scratch, which is really cool. Like, you can actually, like, find ships, break them down for parts. The problem is, though, ships cost ungodly amounts of money. And when you break them down for parts, you can't break them down for all the parts that were included in the ship. You can only break them down for one of the parts, which I'm like, come on, man. Like, this ship costs 24 million credits. Like, I don't want to break it down for a wing. Like, it's obnoxious, and then, like, you can only build three of the ship types right now. Anything that was added later, like the solar ships from the Pirate Edition, the living ships from the Alien Edition, and then the broken Sentinels from the Sentinel update, those can't be built, And you can't change the colors of any of your ships that you already have. Like, you can't re-customize them, which just, I don't know, it's just kind of a miss to me. I would have really more enjoyed, like, playing with the ships I already have, making them the color I want, making them look a little bit more my style. And plus, I love the solar ships. So for me, this update didn't add anything for the ships, because the solar ships are the ones that I try and purchase and collect, because those are the ones I like. So I don't know. Just kind of, this is the first time where I was like, I don't feel like they did enough here. But overall, the game is stellar. 23 updates. Just continues to add stuff. The merchant stuff, not the merchant stuff, the guild stuff is really cool. They made the space stations a lot more accessible and user-friendly. They also made them feel like actual space stations instead of just like, I don't know, gas stations in space. and I really enjoyed it.
So, going along here with my first one, Game Informer, who has basically exclusively been tied to GameStop for all of time, is now peeling off and is its own thing. You can subscribe to Game Informer without getting a power-up membership anymore. The funny thing is, while they're currently running a promo right now, I think it's for 1 year is $19.97 because they came out in like 97 or whatever. Mm-hmm. Normally a 1 year membership is $25, but a 1 year membership apparently only includes 10 months worth of magazines.
Oh, wow. That's
so weird. They got to do it somewhere. They got to do something along those lines. You know, leave it to physical print media to find a way to make people make fun of them, you know, while they struggle to exist.
Yeah, that's my thing. I don't know if this is a good move, honestly. Like, look, GameStop is a failing company. We all know that. I'm not saying it's not. But, like, it's a company with money, and you're a print media that doesn't have money. Like, how are you gonna stay relevant on your own, like, let alone with the failing GameStop? Like, I understand maybe not wanting to be tied to a failing game company, but like, you kind of need their money. I don't know if this is a right, like, well, corporate move for them.
Well, to be fair, they're not spinning off in that they're no longer directly tied. You'll still be able to, if you get their GameStop's power-up membership, get it. But you can get Game Informer without having to get the power-up membership. Right. And I haven't personally had one in years.
Yeah.
I can't get over the 10 months thing.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
That was just weird. I did consider for the briefest of moments subscribing to it, just for nostalgia's sake. But I remember back in the day, I used to save all of my Game Informer magazine. And once a year, maybe, I'd just pick a random one and flip through it and just be like, oh, wow, look at what they were saying about this. Yeah, that's funny because it turned out to be X, Y, and Z or this, that, and the other instead. Right. But, I mean, in today's day and age, especially when you can get all of this information, I mean, hell, I get all these news stories that I pick up for the Newsy Bits every single week from the Google News app. So, I mean, I don't know.
I get all mine from IGN. And I think that's one of the biggest problems is, you know, I did have a Game Informer subscription because I did belong to Power Up Rewards for a long time because I used them for trade-in value when I was still on console. One of the biggest problems with it was any story that I ever saw in a Game Informer, I knew months before that magazine got to me. And that's the biggest problem, is they're just not relevant. Like, everything they're gonna, like, before, when you were a kid, you went to a magazine to see the previews. Like, that's where you got your, oh, this is what this game is gonna be sort of feel to it. Whereas now, you know everything the day it comes out. There's nothing in that magazine that's going to tell you anything new. And I think that's the biggest problem. Like, really, Game Informer competes with IGN. And what's the competition there? Like, you know, like, unless, like, really Game Informer needs to transition to, like, an online network of stories and stuff like that, like Kotaku or IGN or something like that. But I don't think that they're I don't think that, that would really work for them either, you know?
Yeah.
So my next one, this is not really a fun one, but, Take-Two has purchased Gearbox.
Almost put this on my list. Okay. Almost put this on my list.
So this is weird. This is just like Gearbox. Okay. So Gearbox is the makers of Borderlands. They were also publishers themselves, which is even stranger. They ended up getting purchased by Embracer Group. We've talked about the Embracer Group a lot on this podcast recently. Their insane Saudi Arabia deal that fell through. Now they're scuttling companies here left and right. And Gearbox was like, all right, we'll get purchased again. They like Embracer was like, we can't give you any more money. They're like, fine, we'll get purchased again. Now they're purchased by Take-Two, which is interesting because Take-Two publishes Borderlands. Like that's what they did is Gearbox would publish through Take-Two to make Borderlands, which is, Gearbox is insane as a company when you really think about what they do and what they've done, because they would go to other, like, third-party publishers to publish their own games, but then they would publish other people's games, like other parties' games as their own, not through Take-Two, like Homeworld and whatnot. So it's very confusing on that level, like what Gearbox is and what they plan to do. I personally feel like Take-Two has purchased them, so Borderlands and Borderlands we go. Like, that is what they want. That is what we are going to see from Gearbox going forward. They're not going to be publishing their own stuff. They still have the Homeworld stuff, which is coming out. I think there's a new game coming out from them from Homeworld, but I don't think we're going to see anything out of Gearbox that isn't already in the pipeline. Other than Borderlands, because they've already been saying that a new Borderlands is coming this year or next year, that we're going to be hearing about it soon. And I think that's all we're going to see from them for eternity.
Yeah, and I almost wonder if this is almost tinfoil hatting for me.
Yay!
I almost wonder if the move was a calculated one, in that they know that Embracer was having trouble. So, like, hey, we'll take Gearbox off your hands, knowing full well that they could get them at dirt cheap right now, and the Borderlands movie is coming out this year. While there's a Borderlands game in development, I think that they're hedging their bets on hype for that. And
I think we're going to see a Borderlands game at the end of this year or early next year. I think they've been working on another Borderlands game since Borderlands 3.
Because I feel like Tiny Tina's was not an official full Borderlands entry.
Yeah, personally, I thought it was just as big. But yeah, I think it was a half entry, like the pre-sequel or whatever. And I think that was made by a different team. And I think the main Borderlands team has been working on Borderlands this entire time to release it with the movie. I think we see the movie in the summer and a Borderlands game during the winter rush, personally. Or early next year.
I would venture to say early next year.
I think that you're right. I think this is definitely a calculated move to get them, and they're taking advantage of it. I think it's crazy that Randy Pitchford is still fucking CEO of that company, though. Like, they still announced him. He's still in charge of that fucking thing. Like, Jesus, get that dude out of there.
Well, that's the thing. They try to fire him, and he has the key in his hand, and it's just, oh, it's gone. Oh, I don't know.
It's some magician shit, Randy. Cut that shit out. All right, your turn.
So, in the past week or so, a group of Google engineers managed to do the one thing that we wanted to happen with the PlayStation Portal. They managed to run a PSP emulator on it.
Nice.
Which is fantastic. They did it and immediately went and told on themselves to Sony and told them exactly how they did it, so they patched out the ability for you to be able to do that.
Oh my God, that's so frustrating. Why can't we have nice things, Sony? What bothers me is this would make more people buy it. It'd make more people buy it if they could emulate it.
That is the thing.
Like, what are you doing?
If you could install shit locally on there, like, even if it was like a selection of PS1 games, a selection of PS2 games, that it had, like, you I mean, let's go full Sony with it. let's go full Sony with it and say, you, for you to get full function of this, you have to have the top tier subscription plan on PlayStation Network, to where it's like $20 a month or something like that for their ghetto version of Game Pass.
Right.
But hey, you could unlock this capability in the PlayStation Portal to download very specific games to the console. And they could still Sony-fy it up to where it's like only on the second Tuesday of every month when the moon is full, you know, and people would flock to it.
Yeah.
And there's that desire now for portable games. The PSP was ahead of its time.
Yes.
Now we have the tech to do that sort of stuff. And for some reason, they want to make the thing that will not do the one thing that it is meant to do and sell it to you and say, here you go. This is what you want, right?
And this is, I'm going to be pointing this out. You guys are going to get sick of me pointing this out. But I have said repeatedly that this whole crash, all these layoffs, it is all coming from mismanagement of their individual companies. That's where it's coming from. It's not because of like the COVID bullshit. It's not because of like games aren't selling. It's because they are mismanaging their companies from the ground up. And every time I see a mismanagement, I'm going to point it out to you guys so you guys can see exactly how many mismanagements it is. Guess what? Right here. Round one. You literally have gold in your hand and you would rather cut your hand off to spite it. Like, what are you doing? Like, people would buy that more if they could get that functionality on it. And yeah, those people gave you that functionality so that you could use it. But instead, you probably just paid those engineers so that you could take the functionality and just shut it down, which is insane. Why? You don't agree that Nintendo's making money on the Switch? You don't agree that the fucking Steam Deck is a rampant success, or the ROG Ally is a rampant success? What are you thinking? Like, this is what I'm talking about. Like, they sit there and they lay off 8% of their global workforce while literally stopping a money-making opportunity for themselves.
And, I mean, it's basically all but confirmed at this point that Microsoft is working on their own proprietary handheld.
Damn
straight. We may or may not see this summer. Phil Spencer did an interview he very, very much corporate speak tiptoed around it.
Yeah.
If we were doing that, this is what we would do. You know, at this point, we're going to have Nintendo. I mean, Microsoft's already in the game in a roundabout way, like you said, with the Ally and other, you know, portable
Steam
PCs.
Deck, 'cause you could put that Steam shit Deck on Steam even. Deck.
Yeah. Steam Deck. I mean, that too.
And you got xCloud. If you got xCloud, you can play it on your fucking
xCloud.
Phone.
Sony is, yet again, they were the only ones who really back in the day tried to go against Nintendo and were the only other viable option, but they couldn't get it right. But I feel like it was, they had all of the ideas that they needed now back then when it wasn't really a viable option. And now that it's a viable option, I feel like because they already screwed the pooch once,
fuck it,
they're worried about ruining it again, which you already had a portable gaming division. You've done this actually three times.
Yep.
So, I mean, you guys are good. You know what to do. Just do it.
Just do it.
And I can't imagine, like, I'm sure they might be in very early stages of prototyping something, but it is beyond me as to why the PlayStation Portal is the first thing that they put out in regard to this.
Yeah.
2 years from now, we may see a PlayStation portable console.
Yeah.
But I mean, at this point, we have, you know, basically a Wi-Fi window.
Yeah, it is a horrible mismanagement. And you know what? I'm going to take this right into my next one then.
Oh, goody.
Because Larian Studios recently, in an interview, basically called out the gaming industry. I do not remember the exact quote that they said, but they basically said that these layoffs are an avoidable fuck-up, that there is no reason they should be happening. And it basically went into, like, this is mismanagement. This is there's absolutely no reason with the amount of money that we're making that they have to happen, that this is ridiculous. Good on you, Larian. I love that they are still a shining beacon of hope when it comes to developers. And I'm glad they're calling them out because, again, This is a mismanagement. This is a mis. There is no reason that these layoffs need to occur. The amount of money that gaming industry takes in, there is no reason for this. The only reason for this is the CEOs don't know how to run their companies. That's where we're at right now. There's no reason these people need to lose their jobs. None. So yeah, I gotta say that.
And that's the thing. I mean, Baldur's Gate 3 took a long time. It was announced forever ago, was in early access for years, and just recently came out as a full release last year. Yeah. It got Game of the Year. It did very well. And as near as we can tell, they basically operated with a slim team, no crunch. Do what you got to do when you can do it. Don't run yourself into the ground. It's a creative process.
Right.
And it paid off. It's paid off dividends and dividends and dividends. So much so that they could confidently walk away from a Game of the Year and say, hey, by the way, don't get used to this. We're not doing this anymore. Yeah. We're doing our own shit now. Fuck y'all. It's a power move because they know that nobody else is doing this. It's just all like AI generated swill and run your people into the ground and hey, let's remake this thing for the 17,000th time. Is there a new console we can put Skyrim on yet?
I think that it goes to show, you look at companies like Larian, like Helldivers, like the other companies that are doing this, and you watch them, look, I'm sure there was overtime on Baldur's Gate 3.
For sure.
But we're not talking about overtime. We're talking about the 80-hour crunch shit that these companies do to their developers. There wasn't any of that. They managed to make a quality, awesome game without any bullshit about it, you know? So if they can do it, there is no reason that Sony, you with all your money and all your backing and all your time, can't do it. Same with fucking Xbox. Same with the next one. I'm just going to do my last one. I know you got two more. I'm just going to do it.
You're fine.
On this subject. Sega of America has unionized. But at the same time they unionized, Sega of Europe has laid off 3% of their workforce or something. Including shuttering one of their companies. I think it was the Total War company. You can't help but wonder, I gotta be honest, if I was a developer for Sega of America and I heard that news, I'd be like, did I just force somebody in Europe to lose their job? Did you fire them because you can't fire us anymore? That's insane to me. The way that these companies are handling their business is shameful and deplorable. And look, do I think layoffs are a thing that happen in the world necessarily? Yes. There's definitely necessary times where you need to lay somebody off. I'm not saying that. I am not, I'm not the guy on the soapbox crying for the proletariat here. That's not what I'm saying. I am saying that 100%. These companies in these situations do not need to lay these people off. They have mismanaged their companies to the point where they think the only solution is to fire people. And firing people is going to make their quality worse, which means they're going to start to actually intake less money and they're just going to need to lay off more people. They are mismanaging their company from the ground up. This is just terrible, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's the thing is, I feel like the layoffs, I mean, we're now into April and layoffs are still coming. Yeah. And even, I think it was Phil Spencer, it even said too, in that interview recently, that these layoffs aren't done. There's no way that they're not done with layoffs. It's just a part of... It's a part of this, like you said, crash that's been coming. It's a slow motion crash.
Yep.
We've been watching it
for 5 years, and it's just
the semi truck is just smashing through car after car.
Yeah.
And you're just watching it slowly. Every year goes by. Another car goes. Another car goes.
Yeah.
Eventually, it's going to wipe out the whole line of cars. it's just a matter of how long it's going to take and what happens afterwards.
Yeah. And fuck Phil Spencer. He did all those layoffs and declared himself the fucking first ever, the third ever $8 trillion company or something like that. Plus, you've got Microsoft behind you. There's no reason those people need to be at the unemployment line. Not a fucking reason in the world, Mr. Casual Skateboard Fuck. Like, there's just no reason. There's no reason that you could skateboard in and pretend to be our friends and then lay off all these people so that you could declare yourselves one of the most successful companies ever. That's not how it works. That's not how business should work. It's bullshit. And fuck that guy. And the horse he rode in on and the horse his horse rode in on.
Yeah, it's absolutely deplorable. And it's not over.
No, it's going to keep going. And what's sad is, I don't want anybody to be unemployed. I want to make that very clear when I'm about to say what I'm about to say. But I'm almost happy that they're crashing because we are going to get hopefully better companies in their place. You know, the companies that are already doing the good stuff and already know how to run themselves. And hopefully the people who lose their jobs for those companies will go to work for companies like Larian, companies like the Helldivers Company, companies that like are expanding and doing the right shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, that's what I'm hoping happens. And it'll be really shitty for 2 years. And then we will get a good 10 years out of the new companies being at the top. You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, that's probably wishful thinking, but even this old man can be hopeful. Every so
often. Well, you know what? You actually just teed me up for one. Yeah. Minute.
Bring it here. Bring it.
So, this one's wild.
Oh, okay.
It's been reported that Vladimir Putin has ordered development of a Russian game console to compete with the likes of the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X. Apparently, it is rumored that the deadline he has given for plans for development of this console are June 15th. This is funny because this is not the first time something like this has come out. While it was not like mandated or anything like that, Putin had made mention that he feels that Russia should be in with all of the other gaming companies out there, and they have every bit of potential as any other country to make great games.
Didn't they already make a game with Atomic Heart?
I was going to say, I, for one, will not be buying the Comrade box whenever it comes out. I'm going to leave that be.
Like three sketches in my head, like, immediately happened when you said that. Just like the advertisement for it, like, you get Comrade box. It will come to your house. It costs no money. You will play it or you will die. You will do 1 hour every day or it will, with its controller, it will seek you out. It will choke you to death or it will poison you with plutonium. like, that's the kind of thing I feel like.
The commercial that pops into mind is just a blank room with a pedestal and the box just sitting there. And just some Russian individual walks up behind it and just blank stares into the camera and just goes, duh. And that's the whole commercial.
The box itself is Putin's head. Like the actual console.
When you hit the power button, the Russian anthem starts playing.
You have to confirm you're not Ukrainian to be able to play the...
Ooh.
Terrible. Terrible.
So,
fuck Russia.
So I'm going to end on, I love to save the weirdest ones for...
Yeah.
Twitch is banning butt streaming.
Oh.
What is butt streaming?
What's butt streaming?
I love how you were sad.
Well, I like butts, so I don't know. I might still be sad.
Butt streaming is where an individual will wear green underwear and basically bend over in front of a camera and play the game being superimposed on the green screen effect on their underwear. It is banning it because it it violates their terms of service, basically. For sexually explicit content.
I want to see the line in there that says "thou shalt not," you know, like the line in the legalese where it's like, "thou shalt not have a video game projected on your butt cheeks."
My question is, who thought of this shit to begin with? Dude, who was like, place, you know, man. What, man? I got a green screen. I got a freaking pair of green underwear. Like, this is what we're gonna do, man.
Can I tell you something that gets suggested? I don't even go into the Twitch app anymore. I very rarely use it. I used it for a while because there's a Twitch channel that's just Game Grumps compilations. Mm-hmm. On a loop, so I would turn it on for like Sleep Aid or something, but it has so many commercials now that I just find like a Sleep Aid one on YouTube that's 12 hours and just watch that. But so I don't go on it anymore, but I did go on it for a while. I there was a couple of people that were on it that I was supporting. For whatever reason, this kept getting suggested to me, and I don't know why. I've never watched a video like this, but it is a woman named Amaranth, and if you check her out, here's what she does. Okay, she gets in a bikini. All right, skimpy bikini. She is a very pretty girl. I'll say that. And then she just takes microphones and she licks them. That's it. The entire stream is just her licking microphones, like ASMR licking microphones with her titties half out. And more power to her, man. You're making money on that. That's fine. But where did you, like, you're just sitting somewhere. You know what I should do?
She's been banned from the platform like a ludicrous amount of times.
Yeah.
But she also is like, I believe, a multimillionaire from it. So,
Well, she don't has
hate the player,
fans.
Hate the game.
She has an OnlyFans where I believe she does scantily, does some nasty stuff on there. But yeah, don't hate the player, hate the game. Well, and in fairness, this is a weird topic to go down, but like, a lot of female wrestlers, like, recently there was a wrestler who got banned, who got fired from WWE, Mandy Rose, who got fired from WWE for having an OnlyFans. And, like, look, there's plenty of nasty shit on OnlyFans. I'm not saying there isn't. But, like, there are just girls who take pictures of themselves, like, and that's where they get that. Like, they don't get paid as much as the guys. You know what I mean? Like, that's where they get their money. And they're not even doing anything, like, lewd or anything. Like, Mandy Rose would just take, like, pictures of herself in a bikini. You know what I mean? And that's it. That's her OnlyFans. And she got fired for that. So there's something to be said about, like, that is also kind of their power. You know what I mean? Like mm-hmm. that's where they get their money that they can't get out of the actual companies. So, like, it's hard for me to completely and totally damn that kind of behavior in any way, shape, or form. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, there's some weird shit on the internet. Just weird shit. I think in one of our streams, me and Phil were doing, I think it was the one where we were doing the robot one. It was like first generation or second generation or something like that. We were streaming. And I did not realize that I was on camera for a while and I picked my nose.
Oh,
like, and then I realized it because the YouTube replay was like a lag behind, and I just mentioned it. I was like, well, that's great, and he's like, what? And I'm like, I just fucking picked my nose on camera because I forgot I was fucking on camera, and I just fucking picked my nose so the entire world sees it. And he's like, who knows, somebody might be into that. And we just ended up in this bit where I was gonna start an OnlyFans where it's just me with my fat belly out, like, shirt off, just picking my nose for like 2.5 hours on OnlyFans, and I bet you I'd make someone, some money off that.
Someone somewhere.
There's OnlyFans people where they just, like, they just turn their OnlyFans on and they just sleep. You just watch them sleep. Mm-hmm. That's it. Man, that would creep me out. Like, anybody who subscribed to me, I'd be like, I mean, it's a good idea, just making money while you're asleep, but at the same time, oh, I got 250 subscribers who just want to watch me sleep.
Better extra make sure no one knows where my ad.
Yeah, this is getting real creepy real fast. All right, so that's it for the news, right? Or do you have one more?
No, that was it.
That's it. All right, well, let's be done with our weird, awkward OnlyFans conversation. And we're going to go to the plugs and then be done.
Gaming Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, that brings us to the end of the show and the shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, anything you want to plug?
Of course, there's this here podcast, and we are still, we haven't done it in a little bit due to scheduling but we're, I feel like we are approaching the end of the first chunk of the recording that we're doing for Ordo. I think so. We're all going to die soon. It's going to be great.
Everybody's going to throw my character in first.
Everybody's going to throw your kick. I still can't get over how you had an existential crisis that you thought that we hated you.
You guys will all get to see it.
As a brief aside, it just because it's semi-related and I brought it up here very quickly, I one time was very, very concerned with when I was playing a character. I was playing a paladin in D&D, mm-hmm. and I was like the most wet blanket ever. Everybody was trying to do stuff, and like the characters were getting so shitty. And then I like went in this like headspace of, do they actually hate me though? Because I'm preventing them from doing what they want to do in the game. I got to make sure that they know that I still like them and I'm just playing a character.
It's tough. It's tough when it gets real. Like there's definitely been some moments too in games where like people will fight with each other. And every time I'm just like, hey, it's just at the table. Nobody's mad. Anybody walks away mad, we're not playing this ever again. I'm not going to do it. You know, like your characters can fight because your characters have problems with each other, but you got to walk away friends or I'm not doing this.
I feel like that's where like an experienced player and game master can really let loose, because if somebody's not super familiar with the game, you can't roll in there like with a newbie and a veteran, and the veteran being a big old doober and just ruining all the fun, and then the player, the newer person, just doesn't know how to deal with it.
Well, and that's exactly right. You have to. It's tricky. Well, as far as pluggies here, we have been a little pluggies.
Please don't say that again.
Because I'm doing a lot of recording. Also, I haven't had any reviews because, like I said in this episode, I am trying not to buy new games. That being said, I am going to be starting a new show soon called After 50, which is basically I've decided to start like just the games that I reach 50 plus hours in. I'm going to go back to them and kind of re-review them for you. So, like, I do the Snap Judgment Reviews. I think the Snap Judgment Reviews are a good tool. Basically, they're, like, all my reviews that have been on the channel so far are 5 to 10 hours with the game. I'm trying to give you an idea what you're going to feel and experience right when you launch in, mainly because I think most reviewers get really caught up in that 100% or finishing the story, and sometimes they forget what it was like in the first like 2 or 3 minutes. And so you end up with these games with like 9s and 10s, and people go to play them like busy dads or, you know, other people without time. They have 20 minutes and they're like, why is everybody still talking? You know? So that was kind of the idea behind that. I think that still serves a purpose, but I think it'll be fun to go back to some of these games that I've spent 50 plus hours in and kind of re-review them, kind of look at them as to what I think problems are now, what I don't think problems are, that sort of thing. So that'll be coming up. Check that out. All of the stuff that we're recording, all the TTRPG stuff, will be coming out a little bit later in the year, probably in a month or two. Ordo will be coming out alongside our TTRPG launch of the setting, so that'll be coming out soon. And once we're done recording that, myself, Neil, and Kayla will get back to Lasso 3 business. That's it, guys. You can check out everything we have to offer on here on the channel. You can also check us out on Facebook at Old Man Gaming DH. You can also check us out on X, I guess I'm supposed to call it now, at Old Man Gaming 9. And you can, of course, comment. You can, of course, influence this in all of our shows from Discord. The link is in the description below. As long as you guys keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. See you guys next time. Pose.
Did you get to see the eclipse today?
I did. It was pretty cool.
Yes, it was.
You know what was really cool, was really funny, is like I wasn't interested in it at all. Like those kind of things don't usually like get me going in any way, shape, or form. I know that sounds weird to say, but like I was like, eh, moon's gonna pass in front of the sun millions of miles away. It doesn't matter to me, you know. But Melissa, so NASA declared, or some government agency declared Kent the best place to view the solar eclipse in the state of Ohio. So we had 90,000 people on Main Street Kent today. So they shut down her work. They shut down Stella's school. Everything was shut down. All of Kent was shut down because of this. So then basically what happened was I was home. So I was doing some yard work, doing my normal cleaning. And then they came out to get really into it. And I was like, I'll just sit with them. It'll be cool. And it ended up being really cool. Like, I was really into it. The way it got dark, the actual like, looking at it when it was in its totality, you know, and then how the light comes out of the backside when it starts to leave totality. It was really cool to watch. I was really happy that, like, I mean, she didn't make me, but basically Melissa, you know, got me to sit out there with them because it was really cool to watch.
So I had this planned out ahead of time. Like, at work, I had an alarm set so that I was not – I wanted to make sure that I wasn't with a customer – so I wouldn't get screwed. Fortunately, about 2:30, it just everything turned into a ghost town because everybody was, you know, going there. We had about, I want to say about 95% coverage. So we didn't get pitch black or anything. It kind of looked like a sunset. It was enough for like all the like sensors to trip the street lights and everything like that on. But it's funny because like I've always been into like astrophysics, like astrology. No, not astrology, but like, you know, like planets and shit like that. And I already had this stuff ahead of time, and I did not realize. So all of us at work were like interested in this, and we all went outside whenever this was really kicking off, and everybody was like, "Oh my god, this is so cool!" And I just started gushing science facts like, this is the only time that you can actually see the sun's corona. And everybody's like, what's a corona? I'm glad you asked. This like, I turned into Bill Nye. I straight up gave him the time frame, and I basically had it down to the minute as to when we were gonna see our peak of it. But, you know, we're going through all of this. Everybody's just, like, so cool with everything, so interested in everything. And one lone dude who always comes in just rolls up to the front of the building and is just, like, in the middle of this phenomenal astrological event.
Hey, can you look and see how much more I owe on my phone?
Bruh. Do you not like what is your deal?
Wait 15 minutes, please.
Can you wait? Not even 15 minutes. I'm asking for 5. In our area, the peak of it only lasted about 2 to 3 minutes total, and we didn't, like I said, we didn't achieve totality, but it was pretty.
We got totality for 3.5 minutes in Kent.
Yeah, it's just like,
it's pretty cool.
Like my dude, like, do you not know that there's a thing going on? Like, you can't escape it.
Just driving down the highway and experience the majesty of life around you.
Like, hey, my dude, how about you look up at the sun?